In the last session, I talked about cross-examination. I talked about the goals of cross-examination and how to execute the cross-examination. In this session, I'm going to talk about one of the specific tools we use as defense attorneys during a cross-examination, and that is the use of documents. Now, there are a number of different ways a defense attorney can use a document during a cross-examination. It can be used to impeach a witness with a prior inconsistent statement. It can be used to refresh recollection. It can be used to admit an exhibit as a business record. In this session, I'm going to talk specifically about impeachment with a prior inconsistent statement, because that's what we do most frequently, and that's what we have to know how to do in order to be effective trial lawyers for our clients. Now, for a moment, before I talk about how to do it, I just want to talk briefly about what the law is here in D.C. Now, the law in D.C. is very clear that a witness may be impeached with a prior inconsistent statement. And you can impeach a witness with even if the witness says that he or she doesn't remember either making the statement or the contents of that statement. There's a case called Gray versus United States, which says that. Also here in D.C., a witness may be impeached by the party that is calling that particular witness. So a prosecutor can impeach its own witness during its direct examination, or during our case, we can impeach our own witness with a prior inconsistent statement if we want to. Not only does the law permit you to impeach a witness with a prior inconsistent statement, but the law says you have to confront the witness with that statement. And that just means that you have to let the witness know, give them the opportunity to be aware of the fact that they've given this inconsistent statement. You can't just try and admit it later on without them being aware of it. You can, however, use extrinsic evidence to prove up the fact that that earlier statement was made. In other words, if there's a document, and that's what we're really going to talk about here, in which the witness made that earlier inconsistent statement, you can use that document. In fact, as we'll talk about, you should use that document. Or if that earlier inconsistent statement was made not on paper, but to a person, an oral statement, after you've confronted the witness during your cross about that earlier statement, you can call that witness in your case to complete the impeachment. So that's what the law basically says here in D.C. about prior inconsistent statements. Now, there's also law about what the purpose of any inconsistent statement is, or the purpose or the reason for which it can be offered into evidence. If that prior inconsistent statement was made under oath, let's say it was a police officer testifying at a probable cause hearing, or if it was a witness who testified at a trial and then there was a retrial, if that earlier statement was made under oath and then it's admitted in the subsequent proceeding, that earlier statement may be admitted as substantive evidence. In other words, it may be offered for the truth of that statement. On the other hand, if that earlier statement, that earlier inconsistent statement, was not made under oath, it may not be offered for the truth of the matter. It can only be admitted to show that what the witness is saying in court is not true, or in other words, to attack the credibility of the in-court statement. So let me give you an example of that. Suppose during the trial, a police officer testifies that the police officer was 25 feet away when the police officer supposedly saw a drug transaction. Now, at the probable cause hearing, a month earlier, when that police officer was under oath, when that officer said that the officer was 100 feet away, if you were to impeach that witness, that officer, with that earlier statement, when the officer said the officer was 100 feet away, there would now be proof, in other words, substantive evidence, that the officer was 100 feet away. On the other hand, let's say the officer testified that the officer was 25 feet away, and in a police report that the police officer wrote a month earlier, not under oath, and the officer said the officer was 100 feet away, you would not be able to argue that the officer was actually 100 feet away, because there'd be no proof or evidence that the officer was 100 feet away. But you would be able to say that the claim by the officer that the officer was 25 feet away is simply not credible because the officer made this earlier statement about being 100 feet away. The point here is, when you impeach someone, whether it's under oath or not, will affect the use at which you may make of that earlier statement, whether it's for substantive evidence or only to attack the credibility of that statement that was made in trial. Okay. So now you know what the law is here in D.C. about prior inconsistent statements. We're going to talk about how you impeach. But actually, before we talk about how you impeach, there's something I want to talk about very briefly, and that is the question of whether or not you should impeach a witness. Because just because the law says you can impeach a witness with a prior inconsistent statement, it doesn't mean that you have to. There's no requirement for you to do that. It may be that what the witness is saying in court is different than what the witness said before, but if what the witness says in court during the trial is better for you, well, then there may be no reason to impeach that witness at all. So always think before you impeach of whether or not you should impeach. Now, what I found when I started out as a lawyer is that at first I was petrified of ever having to impeach a witness because there are a lot of mechanics about how you do it. And we'll talk about those mechanics in a moment. But I was very nervous about, so if a witness made an inconsistent statement, for a while I almost did not want to impeach the witness, even if it was helpful for me to do it, because I was just a little bit nervous about how to do that. And then eventually what happened is I got the hang of it. I got used to doing it. I got good at doing these impeachments. And so then I started impeaching a witness no matter what. Never really thought about what the purpose of that impeachment was. So I'm hoping you won't fall into the trap that I found myself falling into, which is either I was scared to do it because I didn't want to mess it up, or I knew how to do it, so I did it no matter what. And the point is that hopefully where you want to be is that you not only know how to do it, but that you're thoughtful about when to do it. So as with everything you do in a trial, you always have to think, should I be doing this? Or in other words, does this advance my theory of the case? And there are really two times when you want to impeach a witness with an inconsistent statement, a prior inconsistent statement. One reason would be because you want to credit that earlier statement. So in the example I gave before, where the officer testified during the trial about being 25 feet away, but the witness said earlier during the probable cause hearing, the officer was 100 feet away, that 100 feet fact is much better for you. So you want that fact to be credited. That's helpful to your case. So that might be a reason why you want to do that impeachment. But it could be that actually you're not trying to credit a fact, but rather you're just trying to show that the witness has changed his or her story. So let's say during the trial, the police officer testifies in a gun case, let's say, that your client dropped a gun with his right hand. But in an earlier statement, let's say in a police report, the witness said that your client dropped the gun with his left hand. Now, your theory is that, you know, your client never had any gun. He never dropped any gun at all. You're not trying to credit it was the right hand versus the left hand. All you're trying to do is show that this witness cannot be trusted at all. And so you're bringing out this inconsistent statement, not to say one is true and the other is not, but just to show that the witness keeps changing his story, and therefore you can't trust anything the witness is saying. So those are the two different purposes for why you would do an impeachment. And they're really the only two reasons why you would do an impeachment. So again, before you do an impeachment, think to yourself, you know, why am I doing this impeachment? Is it because I'm trying to credit the earlier statement? Or is it because I want to show this witness is changing his or her story? Sometimes, as I mentioned, there will be times when a witness says something in trial that's actually better for you than what the witness said before. So imagine a scenario in which the cop got on the stand and said that he was 100 feet away, 150 feet away at the time that he saw this alleged drug transaction. Now, in his earlier statement, he said he was 100 feet. But maybe you think to yourself, you know what, this 150 feet that he said in trial is better for me, so I'm just going to leave it alone. I'm not going to do an impeachment at all. Again, just be mindful before you ever do an impeachment of why you're doing it, what purpose it serves. So now let's talk about how you do the impeachment. And there are some mechanics to it, and this is what makes it a little bit scary and nerve-wracking at first. Now, in a typical sort of trial advocacy class, they teach the three C's method. And that's basically the same method that I'm going to talk about here. When you do an impeachment, you follow sort of the three C's. The first is you commit the witness to what they're saying here in trial. You have to lock them in to what they're saying now. Second thing you want to do is you want to confront the witness with the earlier statement that you made. The law actually requires you to do that here in DC. You have to say, you know, sir, officer, ma'am, you said previously whatever that earlier statement was. You can't hide the ball from them. You have to confront them with what that earlier statement was. And then the third C is to complete the impeachment. In other words, you're saying to them, not only you said this earlier statement, but you're showing, you're proving up that that earlier statement was made, either because it was something they signed off on in a statement, or it was recorded, you know, verbal, an oral statement that was recorded, or it might be a statement that was made to a third party, in which case, to complete the impeachment, you'd have to do it in your case by calling that witness. But those are basically the mechanics of doing an impeachment with an inconsistent statement. You commit the witness to what they're saying now, you confront them with that earlier statement, and then you complete the impeachment. Now, what makes it a little bit more tricky is that whenever you're using the document in court, there are certain steps you have to follow, sort of rules you have to go through to use the document the right way. So anytime you want to use a document, before you can actually use the document in court, you need to mark the document. And all that entails is putting a little sticker on the back of an exhibit, of a document. So in this particular case, I have here a transcript on the back. I just put in a little defense exhibit sticker. And then you'll usually write whatever defense exhibit number it is. It could be 1, could be 10, could be 15. Now, after you've marked the exhibit, the next thing you have to do is you have to show the exhibit, the document, to the opposing counsel, in this case, the prosecutor. And all that entails is literally showing it to them. If it's something they already have, it's just giving them the opportunity to realize it's the same thing that they already have. If it's something they haven't seen before, for example, a statement to your defense investigator, well, then you have to give them a copy of that statement. And after you show the prosecutor, you want to ask the judge for permission to approach the witness. Some judges let you do that no matter what. You don't have to ask for permission. But some judges make you say, "Your Honor, may I approach the witness?" And they will invariably say yes. So just try and become familiar with what the judge will do in that particular courtroom. What I generally do is I ask the first time no matter what, and if it's not required in this courtroom, the judge will simply say, "You don't have to ask," and then I know in the future not to ask. So after you've marked it, you've shown it to the prosecutor, you've asked for permission, then you're literally going up to the witness, and you're showing the document to the witness. This is Defense Exhibit 2, you might say. Defense Exhibit 2 is a transcript from the probable cause hearing. The probable cause hearing that you testified about. And again, this is just your way of showing the witness that we're talking about the same thing, this particular document. And those are the steps you have to take whenever you're using a document or any exhibit in trial. And the same principles of cross-examination apply when you're using documents. You still want to ask leading questions. Just because you're using a document doesn't mean they have to be open-ended. In fact, you should lead the witness and do all the same things that we talked about in the earlier session. Okay, so those are the basic mechanics or the basic steps you have to take. Now, I know it sounds a little bit fuzzy when you're just hearing it sort of like this. And frankly, the best way to learn to do impeachments more than anything else is not so much listening to somebody lecture about it, but to get on your feet and to practice it. So I encourage you, even with people, even your family members, non-lawyers, practice doing impeachments. You'll probably drive them crazy when you do it, but you'll become a better lawyer in the process. So what I'm going to do now is a couple different impeachments, just to give you an example. And because, remember, there are two different reasons why you might do an impeachment, you'll notice that the impeachment itself is slightly different depending on what the purpose of the impeachment is. So in this first example, it's going to be impeachment where I'm trying to credit the earlier statement. I'm not trying to show that the witness keeps changing its story. I'm trying to show that what was said before is better for me, that I want the fact finder, the judge, to credit that earlier statement. So in the example, we'll go to the example of during the direct examination, the police officer testifies that the police officer was 25 feet away during this alleged transaction. So it's now time for cross, and it's time for me to do the impeachment. So the first question I'm going to say is, "Officer, in fact, you were 100 feet away at the time of the alleged transaction. Isn't that true?" Something like that. And the reason why I'm not just repeating what he said on direct is I don't want to credit that bad fact. So I can still commit the witness in the way that I've just phrased it by saying, "You were actually 100 feet away." Now, if the officer says, "Yes, that's true," I'm done. There is no reason to do an impeachment, because you've gotten the witness to say the fact that you want credited. And he's saying it here in court under oath, so now it is substantive evidence for you to argue during your closing argument. But most of the time, what's going to happen is the witness is going to say, no, that's not true. So then you proceed to doing the impeachment. And it'll go something like this. Well, officer, you testified before in this case. Isn't that true? Now, just so you know, I'm doing this example. There's no witness giving answers, but I want you to imagine that someone is saying yes to these questions. Officer, you testified at the probable cause hearing. And at the probable cause hearing, you were under oath. And this probable cause hearing was back on August 15th, the day after this incident took place, when the incident was fresh in your mind. Now, time out for a second. You'll notice I'm trying to credit that earlier statement to show that that earlier statement is more reliable. So I'll ask those questions. And then I'll go on like this. Now, I'm showing the government what's been marked as Defense Exhibit 1. I've marked the exhibit I've shown to the government. Your Honor, may I approach the witness? I then walk up and approach the witness. Officer, I'm showing you what's been marked as Defense Exhibit 1 for identification. Defense Exhibit 1 for identification is a transcript in this particular case. And it's your testimony at the probable cause hearing when you're under oath. And I literally will give him a copy of that transcript. Some people like to show it to them and read over their shoulder. What I actually do, and there are different ways you can do it, is literally just give him a copy so he has his own copy. However you want to do it, you then do probably the most important part, the impeachment part of it. You let the government know, I'm on page 15, line 11. Say, officer, you're asked the following question and you gave the following answer. Question, how far away were you at the time of this alleged drug transaction? Answer, 100 feet. You were asked that question, you gave that answer. Isn't that true? And invariably, the officer will say yes, because it's written right there like that in the transcript. So that's it. That is your impeachment. You've committed him at the beginning, and the way I did it here was not so much just repeating what he said on direct, but I was just asserting the fact from that earlier statement. You were actually 100 feet away. And when he said no, then I laid the foundation for that earlier statement. I approached the witness the right way. And then again, the most important part is I brought out and using the exact language of his earlier statement. You were asked this question, you gave that answer. And that's the impeachment. That's all there is to it. Now, after you do that very last question, which in this case was you were asked this question, you gave that answer, you're done. You don't want to go any further. Oftentimes we, like I said, we often make the mistake of asking too many questions, but there's no reason to do that. You've got it now. You've got that earlier, prior, inconsistent statement, so you're done, and you sit down or you move on to another area of cross-examination. Okay. So that was one example of an impeachment using a prior, inconsistent statement in a situation where the statement was made under oath and which I was trying to credit that earlier statement. I want to use that 100 feet later on. But now let's imagine a different example where I'm not so much trying to show that the earlier statement was true, but instead what I'm trying to show is that the witness keeps changing his or her story. So in this example, let's say again that the police officer testified in a gun case that the gun was dropped by my client's right hand. Okay? So, and I know from an earlier statement, a police report that this officer wrote, that he said that the gun was dropped from his left hand. Again, I'm not trying to say either one of those was true. I'm just trying to show that the witness keeps changing his story. So in this impeachment, I might do it like this. Officer, today you're saying that the gun was dropped by the right hand. And invariably, the witness will say, yes, that's true, because that's what he just said on direct. Well, officer, you filled out a police report in this case, a PD-379. That's a prosecution report. And you filled that out back on August 15th. Now I'm showing to the government what's been marked as Defense Exhibit 2. May I approach the witness? Officer, I'm showing you what's been marked as Defense Exhibit 2 for identification. Defense Exhibit 2 for identification is a copy of your police report, the PD-379, and it has your signature on it, correct? Officer, on page 2, what you said was the gun was dropped from his left hand. That's what you said, correct? And then he'll say yes, right? And that's it. Again, you are done at that point. So what you've done here is, again, you've committed him to what he's saying here in court, And the reason I structured it as today you're saying it was the right hand is to sort of trigger to our fact finder that he is changing his story. Then I've laid the foundation for the earlier statement, and I've confronted the witness with that earlier statement and completed it by reading the document and getting that into evidence. Now, at that point, this is an earlier statement not made under oath, just a police report. But again, your purpose here is not to try and argue one is true versus, you know, not true. You're just trying to show the witness has changed his or her story. So that's it. That's how you do that impeachment. Now, a couple things I just want to talk about, a couple sort of practice tips I want to give you about when you're going to do these impeachments. The first is make sure the earlier statement, the prior statement, is totally inconsistent with what they're saying now, or at least very significantly insignificant. Sometimes where we get into problems as defense attorneys is we want to believe it's different, but it's not really different. So for example, you know, suppose an officer says that he was 25 feet away in court, but in his earlier statement he says he was 2 car lengths away. Those aren't really inconsistent. I suppose they're different, but they're not totally inconsistent with one another, because we both know that 2 car lengths could be about 25 feet away. Or let's say during the trial, an officer says he saw a gun tossed, but he previously said that he saw a gun thrown. Are those really inconsistent? Probably not. So just make sure before you do an impeachment that what you're impeaching with is inconsistent with what their in-court testimony is. Second, make sure you use the exact language of the witness when you're doing the impeachment. Don't paraphrase what they're saying. When you get to that very last question, where you're actually impeaching him with the witness's words, use the witness's actual words. Not only because it's much more powerful that way, but that's what you have to do technically by the rules. You have to use their language. So don't paraphrase, don't try and change it up a little bit. If it's a testimony at a prior hearing, the way I like to do it is just to say, you were asked the following question, you gave the following answer. Question, and then I'll read the language. Answer, I'll read the language. So you're using their language. If it's a police report or some other statement, read their exact language. And then the third tip I want to talk about is just that you make sure that you end after you do the impeachment. It is so tempting, after we have impeached the witness with that earlier statement, to kind of want to ask more questions about it. Ask questions like, so, you know, how do you explain that? Or were you lying then or are you lying now? You know, those kinds of questions, they're just going to cause problems for you. You're going to undo what you just did. Believe me, once you get to that impeachment, you've asked that question, it's not going to get better than that answer, that question, that actual impeachment. So do what is always so hard for us lawyers to do, and that is to stop before you ask one question too many. And lastly, I just want to talk about a couple other things very briefly. There's another tool that we can use called refreshing recollection. When a witness says that he or she doesn't remember an answer, you ask a question. Let's say I say to the officer, you were 100 feet away at the time of the transaction. The officer says, I don't remember. You can do something that's called refreshing recollection. And that is, you can use a document. Literally, you can refresh with anything to help that witness refresh their recollection. So you can say to the witness, well, looking at your PD 379 would refresh your recollection, wouldn't it? Again, you can lead him. And if he says yes, you then mark the exhibit, you show it to the government, you ask for permission to approach, you give it to the witness, and then you say, now, please take a look at that PD 379 and look up when your memory has been refreshed. So he'll read the exhibit to himself quietly, and then again, you ask, you know, you were 100 feet away, isn't that true? And then the answer will be yes. Now, when you're doing a refreshing recollection, you're not actually impeaching the person. You're not saying out loud what that earlier statement was. You're just giving them the opportunity to read it and then have their memory refreshed. Sometimes you want to do that even on cross if the impeaching part was not made under oath and you want to get as substantive evidence what they're saying, what they said before. But keep in mind that refreshing recollection is not something you have to do. Because of that case, Gray versus United States, you can, if a witness says he or she doesn't remember, you can go straight to the impeachment. And those are the two most common uses of documents during a cross-examination.